We pray that you would give us understanding and that you'd speak things that would help us to walk out the reality of our Christian experience. In the name of Jesus, amen. Okay, quick review. We've been studying Psalm 119, which is an interesting psalm. We don't know who wrote it. Some people think it was Ezra. Doesn't really matter. The Holy Spirit inspired it. It's an interesting psalm. If you could look at it in Hebrew, the first letter of the first word of each line starts with the same letter. By that I mean in the first section, which if you may have these headings in your Bible, and you may not, but Psalm 119, 1 through 8, all of the first words on the first line start with the letter Aleph, the Hebrew letter Aleph, and from verse 9 through 16, Bet, and so on and so forth all the way through. So if you look at it in the Hebrew, it's really kind of cool. So obviously the guy, besides what he was feeling the Lord speaking to him, he did it in such a way that it was like artistic. Okay? Hopefully highly anointed. Anyway, we're up to verse 105, which is the letter Nun. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I have sworn, and I will confirm it, that I will keep thy righteous ordinances. What's an ordinance? It's a law, that's right. So there are laws. God says do this, God says don't do that. That's an ordinance. Could also be a commandment. Okay, they take the ordinances and they write them out and they nail them to the wall so you could see them. Do this, don't do that. Thy word is a lamp to my feet. What's God's word? Yeah, but what is it? His word to you. Okay. When God speaks to you, he does it through a whole means of different things. And as we've been going through this, we've been dissecting and defining words. We said, first of all, we said the law was what? God's instruction and his direction. Law was not the way we interpret it in English. You know, 55 miles an hour, and if you go 56, you broke the law. It was more than that. It was an understanding that God had direction and instruction for you on how to live out your life. Okay? And then we said commandments. What was a commandment? Da, 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 da. Don't do that. Okay? Da, 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 da. Do this. Those are commandments, similar to ordinances. Okay? Similar to statutes. Precepts were more an understanding of a way God does business. And his ways we described as a pathway. And I think last week I said something about my dogs running up the hill, and I was standing on the porch and I looked up there, and I've tried to climb that hill before, and you usually get cut up and you fall and stuff, but the dog saw something and pew, lickety-split, up the hill. And I looked, and right in the middle of everything there was a pathway that they had made by repetitively traveling in that same way. God has ways that he wants you to walk in. They're proven ways. If you follow God's ways, they will be the easiest ways. I don't know. Is that true? They will be the easiest ways to accomplish his will for you. Sometimes there are pathways that appear to be easier, but they don't lead where you think they're going to lead. They look good to start, but they turn aside. That's why the way is narrow. So anyway, a pathway or a way is a beaten path, a proven track. What's a testimony? We said the testimonies of the Lord are true. What's a testimony? What's what? Well, it's more than a spoken word. It's where do you hear testimonies besides in church? Brother, I got a testimony. In court, thank you very much. And what do you say in court? Well, I think he was really a good guy. I object, Your Honor. That's an opinion. What you've seen and what you've experienced. Okay. Well, let me tell you something. There's nobody that's seen everything and experienced everything except one. So the testimonies of the Lord are sure. You can count on the testimonies of the Lord. When God testifies and he says, if you do this, this will happen. then you can count on that. That's why kids who trust their parents begin to listen when their parents say, look, if you do this, this will happen. Well, how do you know that? See this scar? I listened to my dad when he told me that you shouldn't pull hot stuff off the stove. You know why? Because his arm had scars from here down to here from a three-year-old episode with a pot of hot boiling water. He had a testimony. It was proven, and he had the evidence of that testimony. God will testify to you of how to live. And we talked about the Proverbs being a great place to experience many of the testimonies of God. If you live this way, this will happen. If you live that way, this will happen. Don't live this way because this will happen. So we don't have to necessarily go and eat out of a garbage can to find out that that's not a good place to eat from. Because God can testify to us that that's not the way to do it. And our parents and those that have gone on in the Lord too. Okay. The word or the pathway of God is a lamp to my feet. Can you imagine walking around with a candle on your shoe? What would you be able to see? You'd be able to see your shoe? What else would you be able to see? One footstep. Is that bad? Maybe it'd be better if you had a flashlight, but one footstep's really all you need. How many of you take more than one footstep at a time? No, you don't. That's not how we walk. We walk one at a time. The word of the Lord is a lamp unto my feet. It shows me where I'm going. I really believe that as you become more mature... What's that?
I don't want to know beyond.
Well, that's probably true. What's that, that saying? I think they attribute it to Benjamin Franklin. When I consider all the bad things that happened to me in my life, some of which actually occurred, oh, this is going to happen. They're going to do that. Oh, this is terrible. You watch the news. What are they giving you? They're giving you all the things that you could put your confidence and faith in that are going to be bad. They give you a place to spend your currency of faith on things that may or may not happen. But when you have confidence and you apply your faith to the living God, you know the outcome will be good. Because his ways are right. It's yours to spend. You can believe whatever you want. I remember my son-in-law when he was courting Joanna. And he announced to us that he decided that he did believe in God. And we went, that's nice. It's so cute. You can believe in whatever you want, but there are things that are right and true. And when you apply your faith, when you spend that faith on things that are right and true, you get right and true results. If you apply your faith to things that are not, if you had more light than you actually do, and God gives you the size candle that you need, there are things I really didn't know that my second son was going to be born with cerebral palsy. I didn't need to know that till it happened. I didn't need to know that we were going to be going down to Jackson Stinkin' Memorial Hospital 5 days a week. My wife was going to drive like a taxi cab driver into a bad part of Miami for years. I didn't need to know that. I might have liked to know that at the end it was all going to be okay and he was going to go to college and graduate, which he did. But apparently I didn't need to know that either. I just needed a lamp for my feet. And as I gain, apparently in God's opinion, more maturity, he gives me a bigger lamp. You don't want my lamp on your feet because you might set your dress on fire. I'm not talking to you men. I would have said kilt if I was talking to you men. You need your own lamp. And you need to have it as a light unto your path. I've sworn and I will confirm it that I will keep thy righteous ordinances. By the grace of God, I have sworn to keep the right ordinances, to do what God has commanded me to do. I'm exceedingly afflicted. Revive me, O Lord, according to thy word. God wants to revive you, but he's only willing to do it according to his word. A lot of times we get in difficult situations and we want to be revived in any way, shape, or form. We don't really care how we get out in a mess that we're in. Don't do it. Pray that God would revive you according to His word. Oh, accept the freewill offering of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me thine ordinances. My life is continually in your hands, yet I do not forget thy law. Law is instructions or directions. My life is continually in his hands. Do you know that in him you live and move and have your being? That you're in the palm of God's hand? How many of you remember the scripture, I've written Jerusalem, I've written her the name upon my hand? Do you ever see me in the back worshiping the Lord and I do something like this? How many of you know Star Trek? You ever watch Star Trek? Mr. Spock, live long and prosper. How many of you know that Leonard Nimoy is a Jew? He is. How many of you know that this is what the Aaronic priest did as a blessing? May the Lord keep you, may he bless you, may he cause his face to shine upon you and grant you peace. How many of you know that this is the letter Shin in Hebrew and it stands for El Shaddai, Lord God Almighty? My wife wants me to tell you that if you looked at a topographical map of Israel, of Jerusalem, you would find two valleys right here, and where the yod or the accent mark would be Golgotha. So, just lucky. Just another lucky situation that happened. At any rate, a little Jewish biblical trivia. In his hand is where you live. Your life is continually in his hand, which means the affliction that he allows to come to you, the difficulty, we talked about it last week, the difficulty that comes upon you is not necessarily the devil. I don't mean that the devil is not involved in doing it, but the devil can't do anything except the living God. How silly is it if all of creation is right here in the palm of God's hand and you're in the middle of creation? How could the devil do anything without coming into the palm of God's hand? There's nothing that happens to you that, even when you generate it by stupidity, that God didn't allow. And while he allows it, it's his intention that your afflictions, your difficulties, will turn you back to his path, to his ways, to following according to his will and his wisdom. My life is continually in your hand, yet I do not forget your law or your instructions and directions. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I have not gone astray from thy precepts. I have inherited thy testimonies forever, for they are the joy of my heart. The testimonies of God should be your joy of your heart. Because what God says is going to happen is going to happen. He's seen the beginning and he's seen the end. Take it to the bank. God's intention for you is good. When the devil comes to you and he goes, did God say that? Hath God said? You go, read the book. I trust in the living God. They are the joy of my heart. I've inclined my heart to perform thy statutes forever, even to the end. You have the ability to direct your heart in a certain direction. If you take your bow and arrow and aim it straight in the sky, it might go up, bounce off some bird's foot, and wind up accidentally hitting the target. But I wouldn't count on it. If you aim for the target, even if you don't hit the first time, the more you practice aiming for the target, the more likely you are to hit the target. If you incline your heart in a certain direction, you're much more likely to live in that direction. Okay? Samech, verse 113. I hate those who are double-minded, but I love thy law. Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I wait for thy word. Are you willing to wait for the word of God? Well, if he'd hurry up, I would wait for him. But I have an appointment. How long are you willing to wait for the word of God? Do you have your own word that you're willing to follow if God doesn't hurry up? I promise you that you can do that because God didn't take your will away from you. You still have free will. And if you disobey God, you're probably not going to hell for it. You're just going to get a spanking. But if you continue, and this is a great proverb. Let's see if I can quote it. We used to read this to my son. The person who turns away to his own ways and after much rebuke will be suddenly broken and that without remedy. That's a good one for kids. I mean, you can do things your own way long enough, but there is a point in time where what would be can no longer be. Right? There are things you can do in your life that you can't go back from. Okay? I'm not poking at you girls because you're teenage girls, but you know what? You can't be partly pregnant, just as an example. Once that happens, it's done. There are consequences. It doesn't get undone. Right? So there are things that you can do in your life that can't be undone. So you need to wait for the Word of God. Wait for His pathway to open up before you. Depart from me, evildoers, that I may observe the commandments of my God. Sustain me according to thy word, that I may live, and do not let me be ashamed of my hope. Uphold me, that I may be safe, that I may have regard for thy statutes continually. Okay. Depart from me, evildoers. You have a choice in life. You have many choices. You know, there's that scripture that says, don't be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. There is no scripture that says good company corrupts bad morals. So if you think that you're keeping company with people of bad morals will affect them in a positive way, you have no Bible to back that. Okay? It might. God's gracious. He can do things. You don't know the hearts of the people that we're talking about. But as a practice, it's a bad idea to say, oh, we'll just hang out with so-and-so. Now, I'm not telling you shouldn't be hospitable and invite people over and things like that. I don't mean that at all. I mean where you go to their level and hang out in their situation, in their circumstance, and you think that you're going to be effective. Men, hanging out with a guy in a girly bar is not going to bring him to righteousness. But it's probably going to mess your head up. Because I found out in my life that I can think things and I can look at things and I can pull them up crystal clear 10 years later, they're still in there. I got a lot of stuff in here I'd really like to get rid of. I haven't found the delete button. Control-Alt-Delete does not work on this computer. It's in there. Only God can remove it. And it's really serious that you got to be careful. You have to seek after relationships that are good. Depart from me, evildoers, that I may observe the commandments of my God. Sustain me according to thy word, that I may live, and do not let me be ashamed of my hope. Uphold me, that I may be safe, that I may have regard for thy statutes continually. How do you make the devil flee from you? Just rebuke him. Get out of here, devil. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. What's the Bible say you have to do? Oh, you have to submit to God first. Why is that? Because when you stand out here and you point your finger at the host of hell, they only see you. But when Dad goes with you and you point your finger, they see your father standing behind you. Submit to God. Then you resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Don't go out there with no bullets in your gun. The devil is real. And he's powerful. I know you hear me say all the time that you know, he can't do anything. Well, he can't do anything as long as you're submitted to the living God and you're in his place and under his leadership and following his instructions, walking in the path of God. Nothing can come upon you. But you're not at liberty to live however you want. Verse 118, thou hast rejected all those who wander from thy statutes. For their deceitfulness is useless. Thou hast removed all the wicked of the earth like dross. Therefore I love thy testimonies. My flesh trembles for fear of thee, and I am afraid of thy judgments. Are you afraid of the judgments of God? When you were called into Dad's study, because you'd been a bad boy or girl. Did you have fear? Is that bad? Well, how come? I always seem to harp on this, but it's got to be a balance. I believe in the grace of God. I believe the grace of God is poured out on all mankind, even those that don't believe. Otherwise, God would have had to incinerate the entire world because of sin. However, we who believe still will pass before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, I don't sit here and wrestle with it, but I've done a lot of things as a Christian that I am not proud of. I've done things in leadership that I'm not proud of. And one of the writers says it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. My God is still my dad. And I still have that fearful respect of him. And yet I know he loves me. The grace of God assures me that his intention to me is good, but it doesn't assure me that I'm not going to get a whooping. Because, as we read last week, it was good that I was afflicted. So, Ayin, verse 121, I have done justice and righteousness. Do not leave me to my oppressors. How many of you cry out to God and say things to him like that? God, I'm doing what, you know, I know I'm not. Sometimes I hear Christians and they sound, I don't know, wussy. Oh, Lord, you know that I'm just a lump of dirt. Well, God knows you're a lump of dirt. He made you. But then he scooped you up and he breathed his spirit into you and he gave you a signet ring and he said, you're my son, you're my daughter. There's a constant balance. Remember I taught you the attributes of man. You have a wicked heart, a useless mind, and rags for righteousness. Those are your three good points. But we said we have the righteousness of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. Right? What else? Oh, come on. Useless mind. Mind of Christ. Wicked heart. Didn't you get a new heart? You got a new heart. Okay? So you really, even though you are who you were, you are who God says you will be. That's a holy paradox. And you can boldly go into the presence of the living God and you can say, Lord, I know I screwed up. You don't necessarily have to give him the details. He knows them. I'm not saying that there aren't times for doing that. But you can go into the presence of the living God and then you can say, and by the way, Dad, look what they're doing to me. They're passing me over at work. Lord, if it's your will, I humbly bow before you. But if not, would you take the position of your righteous servant? You are a righteous servant of the living God because you have the righteousness of Christ. And you have this new mind and you have a new heart and you can go before the living God and remind him. It's not that he's old and senile and has forgotten. He likes to know that you know. Remind him. I've done justice and righteousness. Do not leave me to my oppressors. Be surety for thy servant for good. Do not let the arrogant oppress me. God putting up for you. God putting it on the counter and saying, I'll cover his bill. God, uphold my cause. I'm your son. If I'm wrong, correct me. But don't leave me in the hands of the wicked. My eyes fail with longing for thy salvation and for thy righteous word. Deal with thy servant according to thy loving kindness and teach me thy statutes. I thought you guys were saved. Are you saved? I'm getting saved. I'm born again. The Bible says I'm born again. It happened at a traffic light in Garden Grove, California, April Fool's Day, 1970. I said, wow. If this is real, I want it. And something happened in my heart. There's a moment when you were born again. Peter says you receive the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls, and it's consistent through the scripture. You're getting saved. God's saving you out of this world. And I long for his salvation. To me, his salvation is when this is all done. Whether by death on earth or the return of the living God, my salvation will be dawned in the great day of Hosanna. The great Hosanna of God will occur, and I will always be with him. What that means, how that's going to play out, I don't know. But I know it's going to be better than this. And sometimes this isn't that bad. So God knows who I am, and I long for his Sabbath, for his salvation. Verse 125, I am thy servant, give me understanding that I may know thy testimonies. Give me understanding that I can understand and remember and know how things play out when I do things your way. It is time for the Lord to act, for they have broken thy law. Therefore, I love thy commandments as gold, yes, above fine gold. Therefore, I esteem right all thy precepts concerning everything, and I hate every false way. What's a false way? What's a way? It's a path. What's a false way? It's a wrong path. How many of you have walked on wrong paths? How many of you have walked on wrong paths that looked pretty darn good for a while? Why did you wind up on a wrong path? Because you didn't ask him. Because it looked good and you made your own decision. Or you asked him and then you went, no, 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 nobody's listening. We're not hearing nothing. And you went and did what you wanted to do. I'm sorry, this is the truth. You don't wind up on wrong paths if you call OnStar. OnStar, yeah, God, can you tell me if this is a right path or a wrong path? Now, sometimes it may take some effort to find out if it's a right path. How would you find out if it's a right path? My wife held up the Amplified Bible. That's all she needs because it's amplified. The Bible, the Word. What else could you use? Or is that enough? Huh? Fruits that are being produced. Okay. That's good. The Word of God. God, guidance from godly men and women. Okay. God can speak to you hearing what the Lord says. The Rhema Word of God. What God is saying right now. Right now. Rudy. Don't do that. Is that you, God? Judy, did you hear that too? Yeah, it was God. He said, don't do that. I need a check. Well, the Word of God says, don't do that. I don't know. It looks pretty good. I'm the exception. I'm pretty sure I can duck down that path, grab that, and I'll be back before you. Oh, a swamp. Where did that come from? I hate every false way, and they don't sneak up on me. Some of the false ways have signs. False way. I'd turn back if I were you. But some of them don't. Some of them look exactly the same. Do you know what the end of a path is from the beginning? No, you don't. And they may look exactly the same. That's why you have to find direction from God who knows the end from the beginning. Pay, thy testimonies are wonderful. Therefore, my soul observes them. What's your soul? I know, he's making us think. I think it's the blend of the spirit and the body, who you are. It's difficult because words in Hebrew and words in Greek are very different. The literal word here means being or a person, who you really are. And so in my deep innermost person, I really believe that the testimonies of God are wonderful, and I want to observe them. I don't want to give them lip service. I don't want to give them casual observations. I want to recognize that God's ways and what he says is going to happen really is to my benefit. And I want to apply my faith, my belief in that. The unfolding of thy words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. That's so deep. As it plays out, you get revelation. That's why, what did James say the other day? James was speaking last Sunday and he said, I must be stupid because I've read this verse over and over again and now I suddenly see stuff I haven't. Well, I believe that that's a good picture of the unfolding of God's word. What's that? When it's time for you to know and to understand. I guess that's akin to the size light that you have on your feet. You know, what God, you know, when I was first born again, I knew a guy named Steve Levine. I know I've talked about him before. Steve was, he was interesting. Anyway, he was zealous to tell everybody about Jesus. But he didn't know anything. And he was willing to tell you he didn't know anything. You gotta have Jesus. This is great. Well, tell me about him. Well, I don't know about that. Talk to Paul. Paul will tell you about that. A guy named Paul, not Paul of the Bible. And he was zealous. But he knew what little he knew. But what he knew, he really knew. He knew that Jesus had changed his life and he was a different person. And that he was at peace and that stuff was not how it used to be. But that's all he knew. And as you grow, God's word unfolds to you. And you know, you may see things in it. We read last week, I know more than my instructors. God's given me more than the elders. Well, that's not something to be proud about. That's something to be amazed by, but it works. It happens. God begins to unfold his word to you if your heart is right. And he doesn't really care whether you're a man or a woman. He cares that your heart is inclined to him. And that you're in a proper relationship with him and those that he's connected you with. The body grows as every joint supplies. Joints are made up of different components. So we have to learn to respect and to walk with one another. Like the person who's going to tell me what verse I'm at right now. Where am I? Thank you. I opened my mouth wide and panted, for I longed for thy commandments. Is that you? Do you desire God's word? Turn to me and be gracious to me after thy manner and with thy whole love and with those who love thy name. You know, young Christians pray for stuff. You need stuff. God knows you need stuff. But when Jesus taught the disciples, he says, don't ask for this. Don't worry about what you're going to eat. God knows you need all that stuff. But pray for things that matter. Reveal your word to me, Lord. Be gracious to me. I long to know your commandments. I want that stuff woven into my heart. I want to be a person that people look at. I don't have to tell them about Jesus. They see Jesus all over me. Establish my footsteps in thy word or in thy pathway. And don't let any iniquity have dominion over me. What's iniquity? Yeah, iniquity doesn't sound good. It doesn't even sound good. Iniquity. Yuck. Don't let that have dominion over me. Who has control of that? What's dominion? Rule. Don't let sin have rule over me. Can God stop that? How? All the things we've been reading. You start putting his commandments in your heart. You start committing yourself, inclining your heart to follow the way of God. Sin will not have rule over you. I walk with the Lord 37 years. I'm still tempted. I know, it probably crushes you all. I didn't think he was. Well, let's go find another teacher. I'm committed to God's ways. And because of that, those things don't have rule over me. But you know what? At any time that I choose to let those things in, they can still come in. Because God hasn't taken my free will. Sometimes I wish he would. But apparently he can't get the relationship with me that he wants if he takes my free will away. Don't let iniquity have dominion over me. Hold on while I count. 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay. I need to know where I have to stop. Redeem me from the oppression of man, that I may keep thy precepts. Make thy face shine upon thy servant and teach me thy statutes. My eyes shed streams of water because they do not keep thy law. You know, a lot of Christians are pretty good at being upset at the unbelievers. Oh, those people are sinful. Look at all that stuff out there. I am so upset. Look, every time San Francisco's in the news, I want to throw something at my TV. And I like San Francisco. If it wasn't for San Francisco, I never would have met my bride. She's so cute. Are you upset because they don't do things according to the way you do it? Or are you upset because the testimonies of the Lord are true? And people that live in sin have a bad outcome. Are you mad at them because they're living in sin? Or are you upset because the fact that they live in sin will result in sorrow for them? Where's your heart? The grace of God is poured out for all of mankind. He's not mad at the sinners. How many of you know that God is into discipline? And what is discipline? It's training to become right. What's that? Sometimes. God's intent is always redemptive until it's too late. And then God will bring about his judgment. And the people that get judged are those that after a lifelong opportunity to respond to God's discipline, chose not to be disciplined or restrained, and they suffer the judgment of God. Wow. One more. Tzadeh. Or tz, tz. It's another one of those Hebrew letters. Y'all want to learn how to speak Hebrew? First, you got to be able to spit. How many of you can spit? Can't spit? No Hebrew. Okay. That's your Hebrew lesson for today. Tzadeh. Righteous art thou, O Lord, and upright are thy judgments. What's a judgment? When do judgments happen? I just said it. At the end of the trial. When the trial's over, there'll be judgments. And God's judgments will be right. I promise you, whoever you're grieved for, whoever it is that your heart is broken for, whatever difficult things have happened, when you stand before the living God, his judgments will be right. Heaven will not be contaminated by the rebellious, and everybody that should be there will be there. And no one that shouldn't be there will be there. Because God's judgments are right. Thou hast commanded thy testimonies in righteousness and exceeding faithfulness. My zeal has consumed me because of my adversaries have forgotten thy words. Thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loves it. God's into purity. He doesn't like mixture. He likes it pure. What's pure? How many of you have olive oil in your kitchen? What's in it? Read the ingredients. Olive oil. That's pure. Read the ingredients of your post toasties. Oh. Whoa. Whoa. What is that? I like pure. God's into pure. Pure. It's good. Thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loves it. I am small and despised, yet I do not forget thy precepts. Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is truth. God's way is true. It's going to work. Trouble and anguish have come upon me, yet thy commandments are my delight. Thy testimonies are righteous forever. Give me understanding that I may live. God, give me a bigger candle for my feet. I want to be able to see what's right and what's wrong. Lord God, thanks for your word. We pray that it would be stirred in our hearts and in our minds, that we could be formed into the image, that people could look at us and go, he looks like his dad. May that be the truth that comes forth as we follow your path. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.